A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey friends, have you noticed that no matter how much yoga we do, we may still struggle in our intimate relationships? My husband and I have a great relationship, but we are not relationship coaches. And we know that yoga can and does help, but at a certain point, you need more relational support from a relationship specialist. If you're going through some kind of challenge right now in your relationships, my friend Jason Gaddis at the Relationship School can help. Jason's team will pair you up with a skilled relationship coach, and within 48 hours, you'll be getting private one-on-one support on whatever you're going through relationally. And right now, for my listeners only, Jason is offering half off 1 month of relationship coaching. Head over to relationshipschool.com/Laura to get the deal and watch your relationships improve. Good movement, and welcome to Redefining Yoga, a lit yoga podcast, which is designed to investigate all aspects of the modern evolution of yoga from my background as a physical therapist and lover of movement. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through smarter and safer movement patterns, so together we can be uplifted, benefiting all beings. Welcome to Friday with Friends. Today, I have Carly Mentlich on with me. Carly is a licensed clinical counselor, therapist, and the founder of Inner Rainbow Project, a platform created to empower kids with self-discovery tools using the framework of the chakra system. Carly and I talk about the chakras. What are they? How do they help kids? How do they help you as a big kid? Because really, listen, we're all big kids and we might have some work to do still. Of course we do. And so whatever we talk about that applies to children applies to the big children in you. We talk about how to use the chakras and the idea of this wonderful channel of energy to understand yourself better, to have the tools to handle life better, whether it's anxiety, whether it's peer pressure, people around you. And then she also gives some tips for any parents in how to best parent your child in understanding their inner rainbow, their chakra system. And we just had a wonderful talk. She's a mom, she's a therapist, she's a yoga teacher. So we connected on a lot of levels. And I really hope you enjoy my talk with Carly today. Welcome, Carly. So happy to have you on here today from sunny California.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Thanks for
having me. Yeah, let's launch right in. You have a very rich background. How did you get into the field of wellness? I mean, you're a psychotherapist, you're a yoga teacher, and much more.
I was always drawn to it. I mean, actually, I was so interested. Now that you say that, my mom, like, I don't know how I didn't make the connection before, but my mom has a really healthy lifestyle. Like, I did not like it. She tried to, like, you know, she was going to the health food stores in New Jersey where they weren't like very fruitful around there. So I guess I was like immersed in that aspect of it. And I was always drawn to teaching and helping kids. And then it really was for my own self. Like when I, even before being a teenager, when I started to have my own issues with emotions and, my parents didn't have skills, there were no things in school that I was taught to help navigate this. And so, you know, struggled through, but more as an adult than it was, I was already, you know, in like Western kind of more traditional, like learning education, learning psychology, but I wouldn't even have identified it in the umbrella like of wellness necessarily, as you're saying it. And that's more when I, you know, started to seek out for my own self-healing, and what other paths were out there, and got connected with yoga was really the initial pathway that kind of opens me up to wellness overall. And then I just became really passionate about it, and understanding like what are different cultures' approaches to wellness in mind, body, and spirit. Like what are the similarities and differences, and then just grew out of there for my own exploration. And then how can I translate these things and share them with kids?
So you were already on the path of becoming a psychotherapist when you discovered yoga and then became a yoga teacher?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was just going to see, did you find in the training, the educational background for becoming a psychotherapist, that inquiry was present or not really, that you intuitively wanted to kind of expand on the tools that you were getting in this more balanced way?
So the ways I actually found it, so initially my first studied education and then in psychology, and I found like little pockets, I guess you would say, of these, that kind of knowing. And so in education, it was in gifted education, because the kids had learned so quickly, then there was time and space for things like creative learning, social emotional development, and all that. And then in the psychology world, it was more in learning about feminist psychology, and understanding like different cultures and how people relate to the world, and how healing has to happen out of that. So I was intuitively drawn to these little pockets, intuitively, not necessarily knowing. And then the closest, you know, is learning about Buddhist psychology. Where then I was like, oh, there's this interesting kind of other perspective. So I was definitely drawn to different aspects, but more intuitively and not necessarily with like a knowing that I but knowing I wanted something more than binary, more than like black and white, something that was more
expansive. You tell us a little bit about Buddhist psychology, how it might be different or is different than, say, the Western world of psychology?
You know, I honestly, it was more like a I remember this one book, and I can't remember the guy's name, but there's one person that's very, and I remember a friend of mine had introduced it to me, and it wasn't even, I couldn't even actually right now, I don't have the book anymore, pull out the concepts of it, but it was, she gifted it to me, and it was like, oh, there's something more expanded. You know, part of it was that suffering is inherent, right? So there isn't this stigma of having the problem. You're not this problem that then you have to either hide from or then address separate from your own self. And so it was really like those kinds of foundation, like, oh, this is possible, you know, kind of open the window for me that there is even these other ways of looking at things. And so that was one thing that stood out.
Right. Like suffering is part of the human condition, and it's more how we honor it and address it and have the tools to help us at our deepest points of struggle. So with the work that you do, how did you decide to work more with children or specialize with working with children? That's a unique individual but at the, you know, that, some could,
no, intuitive too. And I'm laughing a little bit extra because even more so within working with children, I was drawn to working with the age group of like a tween. So it's like the 9 to 12, where you're not yet, you're just getting that connection to abstract thinking. And that's a very commonly, like I used to substitute teach like way back. I mean, you want to substitute, you want to work with that age group kind of thing. And it, there's something, children especially, there's something about the spirit is still like there, still alive. It was always something like intuitively, like I just, the structure of schooling wasn't like a full fit for me. But if I was doing a student teaching something, I just had this internal drive to show up. Like I was always going to show up for the kids. I was always going to do my best. And I had this drive to keep that light like alive in them and not dimming. And then, yeah, just a special version of that with the tweens. It's like just on that edge, like they'll still actually like listen to you, you know? Still, and I mean that more playfully, but they're still more like engaged and kind of taking in, not fully in the teenage mode. And so I just had the natural ability for it and just drawn to it. It just feels, yeah, just like a right. It just flows more. It seems like my gifts are more easily able to kind of flow out when it's the case of helping a child or a teen or tween.
And so with these different kids, yeah, you are teaching them emotional wellness. How do you do that? Like what tools do you bring in? Is it yoga? Is it the ideas of the chakra system? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, those are some foundational ones that I definitely apply.
By the way, how do you introduce this to the, you know, say that it's brand new? Like my kids would be like, oh yeah, my mom talks about that. But many kids are like, this is kind of woo-woo or I'm not sure. Like, how do you introduce these concepts too?
Well, I take a grounded approach with chakras, especially is very, can have this mystical, can have a religious connotation around it and just a lot of different kinds of just information or things that create barriers to understanding. The approach I take with kids is really, I embrace like a really modern approach to chakra. So I embrace like the Eastern, where it's fully energy based and we're learning to connect with different aspects of our body. And then also the Western approach, which is like, how can we use chakras as this kind of map, or I call it with kids, that you have this magical map inside of you. And it's this framework to support you in understanding yourself and helping you live in life in like the best, truest way for you. And so I do a lot of like, that's why I created the characters out of the Chakra Kids characters to kind of demystify that and give them something grounded. But really when I approach teaching emotional wellness or any chakras yoga, it's really from the foundation, the core, that it's you're building your own emotional wellness toolkit, and that it's not going to look like anybody else's. It's going to be unique to you, and that's the important aspect. And then I bring in the different tools using the framework of the chakra. So it helps it be organized. We're making sure we're addressing things like family, friends, confidence, like all, you know, so it's holistic. And then introducing them to yoga, meditation, breath work, journaling, creative projects, conversation, identifying their own strengths. So then they have, and I call it like a playground to explore and to build their toolkit, and also incorporating, making sure, what are your tools for navigating anger? What are your tools for when you feel anxious, when you feel frustrated, when you feel sad? So they have this collection and they're empowered to use what fits for them.
I love it. Can you tell us a little bit about the characters so that they're, because people that are listening, let's not assume they know what the chakras are. So can you detail how you would introduce this concept of this energetic channel and these different stations within the channel and what each one to a degree represents energetically?
Yeah. And so, I have been on a journey to be able to share what chakras are concisely. My YouTube channel has a video where I would lay this out more concisely. And I was joking, it took me like years to put that video together. But I do start from the foundation that we have this framework inside ourselves, and it's a magical map. And I use kind of more, magical kinds of fantasy approaches with the kids, and that we have these energy centers in our body. Chakras are called circles. So I talk about the roots of it with kids, like share and the history is that ancient yogis discovered that there were and they would meditate and chant on these different energy centers in their body along their spine, and that it would help clear the pathway for them to clear their energy so it could flow freely through their body and they could live life as their best self. So I start with that foundation, that there's this framework. And then I share that how you by doing that, you can free any blockages and things that that gets energy that gets stuck. And then I bring in that along over time, people from the West learned that, like, heard of this and learned we don't have anything like this. And so they said, oh, this is a way that we can apply how to live in the world. And it's like a map to your best self. So then I describe how all different cultures and country and across time, people added their different understanding, including applying the rainbow colors to it. That wasn't initially what it was. So overall, I share it, that it's this framework understanding how you can live in the world as your best self, starting from the root, which you get that grounding to your family and to your culture. And with kids, I do a little bit, I make sure that it's related, the concepts are related to them in their life. So with a root chakra, we're talking at the base of our spine, grounded, feeling safe, comfortable, having what you need in life. And with kids, I bring in, that's where you can learn about how to cultivate feeling of your strengthened family, your roots and your ancestors. The second chakra is sacral, in the sacral area. And so I talk with my daughter about, I also get like the movement of how you could feel. So we get into our hips and we bring flow there. And with that, we talk about friendships for kids. I talk about that. That's where I share about social world. That's how you can connect with your creativity and your joy and your passion. And that's the container for that. And then we move up to the solar plexus chakra, which is in the core of our body. And that's the center for fire. That's one that really I find is a good approach. Like, that's one of the first ones that I was able to share with my daughter at a very young age, because it was like, that's where your bravery is. And we talked about like yellow and fire and the elements that she could relate to. And then we have our heart chakra, which balances out that fire. And that's where we can learn about love and kindness and support feelings of including others and loving ourselves. And then the throat chakra is our point of emotion and or where we express our emotions, where we express our personal style. I do there too. And then third eye is where we get a chance to learn how to calm our minds, balance feelings of sadness, feelings of like when your mind is racing or not calm. And then we get into the crown, which I love is the connection, because that's where like the big dreams live. And that's where you get a connection to your imagination and things that you can't necessarily see in reality yet. And then also I like families and people who have a connection to religion or certain spirituality. That's, I think, a good container where you can help your child and talk about the crown chakras, where your connection is to higher self, and if you know whatever term you use for that. And so that's a little tour of the map, which I go through, and then my characters all put that into a symbol. So the colors, the personality, everything about the character reflects that understanding, so kids could be like, oh, okay, I'll hang out with that, you know, I'll connect with this chakra kid, and I'll connect with this chakra when I want to feel this way. And so that's how I also kind of relate it. So you would want to use this chakra, you would want to go to these tools when you want to feel this way, or when you want to feel, when you do feel this way, and you want to shift that. And so make it really approachable that way as well.
Today's podcast is sponsored by AminoCo, my favorite company for amino-based supplementation. While I use many of their products, today I'm highlighting the Purity line. Purity is just like it sounds like. It's designed to accelerate the export of fat triglycerides out of the liver, which helps reduce overall liver fat levels and helps maintain normal levels of liver enzymes. The liver is vital to all metabolic processes in the body and is primarily responsible for removing toxins, processing nutrients from food, breaking down fats, and building proteins. I use Purity as a bonus to help my liver function more optimally. Even though I'm living a pretty clean life, I feel better knowing that Purity is helping me filter out the inevitable toxins that we all encounter. This drink helps me feel refreshed and motivated to keep my organs functioning their best. I mix it with a powder in water or in my favorite smoothie. You can find out more about AminoCo in episode 569 when I interview one of the founders, Dr. Robert Wolf. You can also shop my favorite 100% science-based amino acid supplements and save 30%. Just enter code LIT at aminoco.com/lit. Again, aminoco, aminoco.com/lit. I love that, Carly. And can you share like some of the feedback that you've gotten from either the children or their parents or both with how these tools and this understanding of their own power in a way, because it is a power channel that allows us to be expressive, but also to yield when we need to, so that we're not just, you know, expressing in ways that would hurt others, or just having like that inner control, but also with the control, the ability to feel and monitor those feelings. And
So you're asking, I'm sorry, like,
so any feedback you've gotten?
One of my favorite pieces of feedback is from someone that actually initially worked solely in girls' empowerment and women, and had just girl characters. And then I felt called like that there needs to be this just more access to all for these kinds of like how to navigate emotions. And so the one is when there was originally just the chakra girls. So that's what she's referring to. But she talked about how her daughter wanted to pass on the information to me that the chakra kids help her feel calm. And she shared the information of the way that they use the chakra kids, which they're also talking about the chakras, as a way to discuss how to react and deal with certain situations, and then how to navigate your emotions in those situations. So that's to me some of the most powerful feedback that I've gotten, is that there's a way that the teaching and the characters and the understanding of the chakras help them understand something about them within themselves, and then how to navigate certain situations. Because you can also then use the characters, and that's why like learning from books and stories can be so helpful, because you're able to talk about the character and them embodying the emotion. So it makes it a little safer initially. And you could talk about like, oh, how did, like, so my daughter and I, for example, say, how do you think Spotty, that's the orange, the chakra, the sacral chakra character, and she's really good at going with the flow. If things change, if there's something that changes in schedule or a friend can't come over, we talk about her. So you can bring her up and say, well, how would Spotty react to this situation? Or let's try to be like her. And so we're going to go with the flow. And also, though, I love how you said, though, it is important to acknowledge, like, yes, it is disappointing that this thing is changing. So we're going to give space to that. And we also have tools for that built in, how to deal with disappointment. And so we're going to acknowledge that and also see that there's benefits of learning, of going with the flow. And so it gives you tools for opening up conversation in that way. And then also learning different kinds of things that you wouldn't, like by the immersion and all different kinds of things. Like, oh, I had no idea that my daughter, like a lot of people will give me, my child was inspired to like start a YouTube channel after the solar plexus chakra, like camp or a curriculum, because then they're inspired to connect with their goals and define them and have a path towards them. And then that gives a structure, but then they get to go off and do like their wild things that they love, but have some guidance. So those are my favorite things too. When I hear like the things that the kids were inspired to do because of learning about the chakras and learning how to manage their emotions or talk to people better or make a friend in a more authentic way.
I love that, because it's also teaching kids to connect within, you know, and that sounds kind of hokey, but, you know, most people are never taught about their body. You might have one short little sex ed segment that is, you know, everybody's so awkward and laughing about, but
it doesn't really cut it for helping the interconnection.
And then they're having these bodies. So it's like the biophysical, emotional status, all of it, the container and then everything within, it's really not addressed in any meaningful way or any helpful way. And I imagine that, I mean, I always really bemoan the fact that so few people learn anything about functional anatomy, and their, you know, their bodies are what are bringing them and engaging them in life, and how wonderful it would be to teach them in high school these things. Yes. And what I'm thinking now is all of these adults who are walking around with mismanaged emotions, imbalanced states of, you know, just kind of that homeostasis of like handling things, being resilient, being adaptable. Yeah. Would you, or do you in your work, like think of these adults as big children, which we all are. We're like children that are just, you know, have grown up, but some have not had this. So do you do this with adults as well?
So the first, yes, I absolutely do think of us all, self included, as like big children. And a lot of that's actually another, some feedback that I think is really cool and hadn't even like consciously conceived of about my work, is that people will reach up and be like, oh, I got this for my daughter, but I love it for myself too. Like, I have Oracle cards as one of like my main like tangible tools. And so they say, oh, I got this for my daughter, or I got this to do like, you know, for my own self, but I do it for inner child. I use it for inner child readings. And then the with adults, what actually is, so I had always been interested in working with kids. I had always worked with kids. When I first got my my license, I worked with kids. But when I started, when I was pregnant with my daughter, I started to do online therapy with adults. And so that's what I still do now, as another one of my jobs. And that just, it highlights it even more. I mean, there are so many, I mean, almost all, you know, just have similar. And so I don't do the same, it's not the same exact, I don't necessarily use the characters or anything, but in terms of the same kind of understandings, introducing the same kind of work, even sometimes, like you said, functional anatomy. And I thought about how a lot of times I'm sharing with people how to breathe with their diaphragm, because they're giving themselves more anxiety. I mean, something simple like that. And so absolutely, I'm also constantly inspired by if an adult or if a client of mine struggling with something. And then, you know, not just their own childhood when we go back and think of like how it came from, but more like, how can we prevent that? Like, what can we teach and introduce that then that would never happen, ideally, is the overall vision. So
what do you see now, both in adults, but also in these adolescents, in these tween years, as something that is, I don't want to say alarming, but is that it is so highly prevalent in a way that maybe wasn't the same 10 years ago? Like, I'm thinking anxiety has got to be up there. Not that people haven't been anxious before, but it feels like that is at least spoken about more now, and just common. Having a teenager of my own and a 20-year-old, it seems that age group, it's very, very common for them to talk about anxiety. Yeah. And I don't remember that in high school. I mean, I might have had some stress, but I don't think it was like this thing. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's compounded. I think part of it, though, is in a positive, is that there's the language around it. Like, you can see it out on a social media and things like that. And so there's some positive aspects of it, where when I first started doing therapy, I would never hear of a child that was like, I sought out and I'm interested in coming, I need help. So that's something I do see. As far as challenges, though, I think it's more magnified. So for example, like, if there's a child that I would, when I first started, that's say struggling with like, I don't like, like, I, let's just say bullying, but it's like relational aggression, that kind of thing, that I would start to see like in even earlier. So then it's like in the 6 and 7 year olds now are coming in talking about that, where then it was more of like 11 and 12 year olds and we wouldn't hear. So it's like all of the pressures and things are kind of coming. And then I think, yes, there is an increase in anxiety and depression. One, it's becoming more prevalent to us because people are having the awareness of it. The stigma is slightly being removed. So at least it's coming into conversation more. But there's just so many, it's becoming more magnified with all the pressures going on, that there's the lack of these skills and that there's the lack of the support that would prevent this happening. So by the time you're a teenager, that's what you're experiencing. And so I think it's becoming more magnified and apparent that like this is a problem, has always been, probably is likely getting worse, all factors considered. And we need to, we need to do something about it, which is why.
And I do love the fact that
More and more.
Yeah. The stigma around mental wellness in general is being lifted, and you know, I'm sure it's shifting, still there, but certainly when I was growing up, it was like, no way. You didn't hear about anybody going to therapy unless something was really wrong.
There's really something wrong, and you better not tell anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Certainly don't talk about it.
Yes.
So can you give some like tips for building a more resilient, a more balanced, emotionally balanced, meaning they're going to feel all the different things that are normal to feel, but ways of helping any parents out there, some tips that you would have.
Yeah. The first thing I always say, and that foundationally, is make sure you're working on those things for yourself, because that's what your children are seeing more so than anything. So if I am teaching my daughter to be resilient and I have all these wonderful tools and I help her and we read the way we do all the things, and then she sees me reacting to a situation with a not reflecting that, and that's what she is going to soak in. And so even more so than you think, because that can, focusing on yourself as a route to supporting your child's resilience, confidence, etc., it can be a challenge. There can be a step there because it can feel selfish, or it can feel indirect, or it can feel like you're not, you know. And so that is, I will keep sharing that voice out there. And also the things that we were talking about in terms of developing the tools, being intentionally supporting them in developing the tools. So getting clear on what you want to share with them, what is important to you. So resilience, is it self-love? Is it compassion? Is it, you know, and then intentionally setting out to support them in developing the toolkit for that, with the openness and not attachment of what that's going to look like, if it's going to be different than what yours is, and keeping that intention that I'm going to cultivate this, I'm going to attune to my child. That's what's going to support me in helping them develop every value or every, you know, quality I could want, and help them define what they want to develop.
Exactly. And I was going to say,
see the inherent reasoning for it.
And I echo the not attachment, because I think that's really the practice of yoga in parenting, is recognizing that this child might be of you, or, you know, you have raised in since whatever age, but they are separate from you, and that, you know, their responses and emotional state, a lot of that can be wired, and they are different. They're things that they might be interested in are different. Things that they might be sensitive to are different. Mm-hmm. It has been, I think I've grown more as a adult in my emotional landscape being a parent. And that isn't to say you have to be a parent to do it, but you can imagine being around, you could apply this to a partner or to a friend, and like your, view is coming from your lens, but it's not, you have to appreciate that this is a separate person. And yeah, I really like that I think for all parents, gosh, apply more of that non-attachment. And non-attachment doesn't mean you don't care. It's that you're not attached to the outcome of your your influence over it.
Yes. Well, and I think that's important to clarify, because there can be that means I don't care. I'm like laissez-faire. I'm just going to let my child like do whatever. And it's not. And that can then be a barrier to practicing the non-attachment, which is again why I love yoga, because it's not binary. It's like, It allows for both of those in one, under, you know, they don't conflict.
Yes, it really bothers all the people who want the concrete answers, because you're not going to get them. And that's life. And that's where we have to, like,
not if find... you're not. Yeah. So don't listen to me or follow me if you just want like a step by step concrete. Yes.
Right.
So
it sounds like, in recap.
Yeah.
For everyone listening, whether you're a parent or not, take a look at take a look at your work, maybe even the book, and read it from this place of like, how can I activate these centers in a way that it's going to make me more balanced, make mm-hmm. me more clear about who I am and what I value and who I'm connected to, my stable security, and how can I be a better person for myself and for others around me, and, you know, really being aware of the impact we make. And having ambition is wonderful. I always say the core chakra, I love it. It's like, mm-hmm. it's fire, it's ambition, it's vision. And it really is the thing that brings forth our fruition, but at the same time, balancing it with that heart. How is it affecting others? How can we make our life a statement of, you know, what we want to see in the world?
Yeah. I mean, and that's, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I became very fascinated with the core and the heart chakra, like the relationship between those and how they balance each other out. And that's another reason why I love the chakra system. And again, you don't have to necessarily know the history, the details, even be able to like answer what a definition of it is on the test. I think you spoke to it really beautifully of what it really has to offer. And I think that's why it allows for all of your different shades and colors. The core, the fire, the heart, the comet, you know, the quiet, the dreamer, the realist. And so it's really so supportive for holistic, healthy self-development. That's why I love it. And it's colorful and I like rainbows.
I know, it is colorful. It's wonderful. And it does something to our brain and our nervous system when we think of those colors and we think about when we even purposefully imagine the color and try and connect to that area. There is some real metaphysical activation happening. Can you tell everybody where to find you, where to find you maybe on social media, how to get this book or find out more information about you?
Yeah, my main hub is the Inner Rainbow Project. So it's a mission to keep all the colors alive and use that to support yourself. So innerrainbowproject.com. And I just published my first children's book with the Chakra Kids. So it teaches Woo! How to share. It teaches a really like just fun, creative approach to even the miniest of mystics, I call them. And you could find that on Amazon. And and I through my Chakra Talk podcast as well on all the platforms. And that's where I share all the different kinds of mystical topics and understanding spiritual topics. I break them down and teach them really in a way that kids can understand and apply to their life. And so, so those are the most of the places I hang out, and my YouTube channel, which will probably share the background of the chakras more eloquently and concisely than I did so for you today.
No, you did a great job.
But
and
in
I love
a colorful
that.
Way with the characters as well.
And this
so
is
that's
all, and
where
it's,
you
yeah.
can be alert.
Good. Everybody check out Carly and remember, we're all just big kids.
Thank you.
And we might have some balancing to do. I think we all probably do. So everybody can benefit from young to larger to older. And thank you so much for your work and your time here today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for talking to me. Yeah.
And for everyone listening, as always, I'm pulling for you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. acast.com.